Welcome to the Road to Fueling Better podcast, hosted by registered dietitian Laura Kilkline
and dietitian in training Gina Santinello. We created this podcast to debunk diet culture myths, share evidence-based nutrition strategies, and empower you to live your fullest life without restriction.
We want to help you make informed nutrition decisions that fit your goals, whether it's optimizing your performance and recovery in the gym or simply learning how to live a healthier lifestyle.
We believe that the key to health and fitness success is to build a solid foundation of sustainable habits that support your goals. This not only includes behavior change, but more importantly, mindset change.
Together, we've helped hundreds of clients end the yo-yo dieting cycle, improve their relationship with food, hit endless PRs in the gym, and acquire the skills to optimally fuel their bodies, all while enjoying their favorite foods.
We hope that you enjoy this podcast.
If you want to learn more, follow us on Instagram at balance.fueling
and apex__nutrition.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Road to Fueling Better podcast. And we hope you enjoyed episode 1, where we really got to get a little bit into our backgrounds a bit and just help for you to get to know us better. And we thought that we didn't want to continue and really get into nitty gritty topics until we gave the name of our podcast a little bit more time and attention.
Yeah, I think that it's really important to explain the name, you know, the reasoning behind our name. We put a lot of thought into this name.
Had a lot of options we were weighing.
There were a lot of options, and this one just clicked. We had like a whole list of names, and we almost went with some of them, and we were like, yeah, it's okay. But once we came up with this one, it was like a no-brainer.
That's the one.
This is the one.
Road to Fueling Better.
And there's a lot of play on words within this name, which is why we are dedicating an entire episode to explaining all of the meaning behind this name.
Exactly. And so, again, there's going to be a lot of word puns, so buckle up.
Buckle up, quite literally.
Yes.
All right, so starting out, road. There are like a lot of puns within this one word itself.
Yes.
So road, you can notice that it's spelled a little bit differently. For any of you who are not from the New England area, we are from the tiny little state, Rhode Island. So we're giving it a little bit of local love, spelling it that way.
Yeah. So shout out to Rhode Island, shout out to anyone from Rhode Island who's listening to this or maybe likes to come to Rhodey to vacation or have a good time.
Yeah. You want to explain our next one?
Yeah. The road? So you'll also notice that within that road word, that R is capitalized and D is also capitalized. So that we just wanted to give a shout out to registered dietitians being the nation's nutrition experts, and we'll definitely be talking a lot about it throughout this podcast, where getting your nutrition advice from a dietitian, you know, someone who has the adequate education, training, and experience to give nutrition advice is something we feel very strongly about. And so we wanted to, again, give a shout out to dietitians practicing not just in the state of Rhode Island, but everywhere.
Yeah.
And just let anyone who might be listening know that if you are seeking help with your nutrition, that a registered dietitian is who you want to be reaching out to.
Yeah, exactly. And then our next one is going to be
road again.
Again. And that just kind of implies the journey. So this nutrition journey that you embark on, it really is a long journey. It's like a road trip.
Yeah.
It's not just a quick pit stop. Like, we're going on a road trip, and there's going to be lots of speed bumps and stop signs and U-turns and roadblocks that you're going to encounter along the way. So we really think that it's important to learn how to navigate all of these things that you're going to encounter and learn how to continue moving forward on that road trip.
Exactly. And I think just knowing that those roadblocks or challenges, you know, traffic, whatever it is that comes up, just like it's a normal part of a road trip, that's, you know, those kind of challenges are going to happen with any kind of journey that you're on with your health or nutrition. It's, you know, we may have heard, or I'm sure we both said it to clients before, like, progress is not a linear line. There's going to be kind of those speed bumps. And so I think normalizing that and as part of the process, and I think what we do as nutrition coaches is we help our clients essentially build, you know, the skills and have the tools to be able to overcome those roadblocks.
Exactly, because I think it's all too common to hit a speed bump in your nutrition, fitness, lifestyle journey and be like, well, that's it. I'm giving up.
Throw in the towel.
Yeah, look for something new. When in reality, like, you just need to get over that speed bump and it's going to be another smooth road for a little while. You know, it's never going to just be one straight, smooth road with really anything you do. Nothing is going to be like that. But for some people, I feel like nutrition, that people expect that with their nutrition
for journey. It all just to click and, oh, well, boom, I'll go on this road trip and I'm not going to hit traffic once.
Yep.
You know, nothing. I'm not going to get lost or, you know, veer off the road at all, or, you know, no one's going to get road rage at me, whatever it is. Like, there's things are going to happen. Things are going to come up. And so again, it's not about expecting the perfection. It's about having the skills to be able to overcome those and continue on.
Exactly. If you turn around at every speed bump or stoplight that you encountered on a road trip, like, we wouldn't leave the state.
Yeah, you get nowhere.
Be stuck in Rhode Island.
Yep.
You would get nowhere.
Well, some people in Rhode Island are like that.
Very true, especially Newport. Like, we're like, nope, we're not crossing those bridges.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's really important to learn how to continue to navigate and, you know, almost kind of reach like an autopilot. I feel like autopilot kind of relates to like habits, right? So, you know, at first when you are going on a road trip, you need directions how to get there. You have no idea how to get there. You look up your directions, you follow your directions. Maybe you get lost. Maybe you hit traffic. You're still going to do it. You get there. And then you kind of learn the path. You're kind of like, all right, this is it. And now you kind of don't get lost anymore. You're not really
You know where to veering go. Off. You know what turns to take, or maybe how to avoid a roadblock, or how to go get through it in the best way possible. And again, I think that's really a part of how we like to approach nutrition and our work with our clients.
Yeah. It's like really building those habits. Like, have you ever driven home and you're like, wait, how did I just drove a half hour home? Like, I don't remember any of that car ride.
I remember learning that in driver's ed. It's called highway hypnosis.
Oh, that's a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Oh, that's crazy. I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
You literally get home and you're like, whoa.
It's like muscle memory. Yeah.
But I mean, that kind of relates to this journey that you're on with nutrition. Like, eventually you do it long enough and repetitively and consistently,
it does get easier.
It becomes autopilot. You know, you just learn those habits are now a lifestyle.
And you're able to stay consistent with it because, you know, you had that mindset again that, all right, I'll hit roadblocks, but I'm going to learn how to overcome them.
Yep.
And then as you continue to go, again, it's way more easier to deal with those roadblocks or even avoid them.
Yeah. Yeah, so we kind of explained the whole road part now, and now we're kind of, you know, when you're traveling along the road, you're in your car. And get ready for the puns here, because we have plenty of them.
Oh, yes.
So let's just say the car here is us, right?
Yes.
We are the car. So to begin with, the obvious, fueling, our gas tank. Your car is not going to run if it does not have gas, period. It won't. It literally will break down and be immobile.
That's, you know, step one for an effective road trip is fueling up your car for your trip. And then, of course, planning, you know, making sure that you're stopping getting fuel while you're on the road because you don't want to run out of gas.
Exactly. And I think that kind of goes to how much you fuel. You know, so say like me and you, we're going on a road trip and we're going to the same place. We're in different cars. I'm going to stop at a gas station and I'm going to fill my tank full. You're going to stop at the same gas station and fill your tank maybe an eighth of the way. We don't know why, but you just did.
Yeah.
So we're going to be cruising along and I'm going to be smooth sailing. You're going to have to stop for gas again soon.
Yep.
Because your car is going to die.
Take an exit. Maybe get lost.
A detour.
Yep.
And now you have to fuel up again. Say that you continue to do that for the whole duration. I'm going to get there a hell of a lot faster than you are and much smoother.
Yep.
I'm not going to have to take all these exits and
extra turns. Yep.
Yes. And that's the same thing with fueling our bodies. If we are consistently under fueling, we run into a lot of problems. That's really gonna take us a lot longer to make steps forward.
Exactly. You're gonna burn out, run out of gas,
break down,
get lost, and
it's not gonna be a fun time.
No, not at all.
No. So really fueling your body with adequate calories, especially to suit your calorie needs, is ridiculously important. I would say especially for people who are active and work out a lot. Like,
yeah. And I know we see just time and time again, new clients come to us and they maybe think that they're eating too much or they're eating the wrong, you know, wrong in quotations, right? Wrong things. And then we do some digging as their coach and come to find out that they are actually under fueling a lot of the time.
Yep.
And helping them, you know, fix that problem. So again, they can reach whatever their goals are and they start to notice, you know, performance is better and things like that. So, I think keeping in mind that, you know, you mentioned calories, that calories are a unit of energy. So that is literally what is supplying our body with the energy to go about our daily life, perform in the gym, just perform in life. So making sure that you have enough fuel in your tank, so, so important. Like,
and
step
I think,
one.
Like, a lot of times, I know I see it a lot in my clients, at least in the beginning when a lot of them start, it's like, well, I went for the lower calorie option. And then we look at everything going on in their life. They're exhausted. They're no energy. Their gym performance is suffering. They're just feeling
depleted.
Awful.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, low calorie equals lower energy.
Yeah.
Lower calorie is not always the answer.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's, you know, I mean, we need to eat adequate calories to support our lifestyle, period.
Yeah. And I think with, you know, the quick fixes out there, there's just this emphasis on, you know, being low calorie and being super restrictive and people thinking that that's the answer for, you know, what their journey is, what their goals are. And really that just sets them up again for essentially failure and all those, you know, extra roadblocks.
Yep.
Exactly.
Running out of gas.
And so, you know, on that note of quick fixes and how, you know, how we like to approach that or talk about that, we use the example of a spare tire. So, you know, if you're cruising along on your road trip and you run over a nail or you get a flat tire, your tire's busted, you're going to put
Can't
your,
go any further.
Your, yeah, you got to do something about
gotta
it.
Got to fix it.
Not going to quit and hitchhike home, right? Like, no, we're not going to do
Imagine
that.
Imagine doing that every time.
Yeah.
Like,
That doesn't make sense.
It's not going to... No, exactly. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So
what do we do? So we will, you know, hopefully you have a spare tire. You can throw that on. And, you know that that's not going to get you to where you want to be, right? It's sort of this temporary thing that's helping you. So what do? You're going to go to an auto body shop and have the actual tire repaired and replaced.
Fixed it. Exactly. And you're going to put that regular tire back on and put the spare tire away.
Yep.
So the spare tire really kind of represents a quick fix. Like, it's not going to help you in the long run.
Yeah.
It's not going to get you where you want
to
be.
You still have to kind of get to the root of, you know, whatever that roadblock is, essentially. Because if you blow your spare tire, then what? You know?
Exactly.
Then you're really screwed.
And it's like, you need to figure out what happened to your tire. Did
yeah.
you run over a nail? Did you hit a curb? Can we fix it? Like,
how do we prevent that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
How do we prevent that? So you know, it just goes to show, like, quick fixes, they just don't, they're nothing in the long run. Maybe they're going to help you temporarily, but
they don't get you to, you know, where you want to be, and usually, you know, can actually kind of veer us off course sometimes.
Well, you got to get off to go to the auto body shop.
Yeah, so you get delayed. You're veering off.
Yeah.
You know, now you don't get there in time and
you're running late.
Exactly.
It's not a good time.
No.
So just avoid that by avoiding the nails and the potholes and all that that's going to cause that, so we don't need to use that spare tire and go off track.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think, you know, similarly, that kind of speaks to just regular routine, like car maintenance. So how we like to think about that, like that could be anything from getting your oil changed, you know, checking your battery, getting regular car washes, stuff
getting
like
a
that.
Detail.
A nice detail. You know, that we kind of related to
everything else, really.
Everything else, you know, so sleep, recovery, self-care.
Hydration.
Exactly. To essentially make sure that, just like we would want to make sure that our car is running efficiently and smoothly and in the best way possible, the same thing is true, you know, for us and our bodies.
And I think that it, you know, with car maintenance, there's a bunch of things within it, right? Like you said, like there's the oil change, there's gas, there's windshield wiper fluid, there's this, 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 and that. If one thing is not working, kind of throws the whole car off.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're going to run into problems if you run out of windshield wiper fluid eventually.
Yeah.
You're going to run out of problems.
Especially
if you don't.
In New England. Yeah.
Exactly. I do that sometimes. I run out of it and I don't get it until I get my car service, and it's kind of miserable. Like,
yeah.
In the snow, you're like.
And then you don't realize how much you use
you
it.
You need it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like if one thing is out of whack, it really has the ability to throw the whole system out of whack. And that's the same thing with your body.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not fueling, recovering, sleeping, resting, hydrating, like if one of those things are off, then the whole system is going to be thrown off and not run as smoothly as it can. The whole point is having cars, having ourselves run as optimally as possible, right?
Yeah.
We want to work as efficiently as we can. So we really need to prioritize every small part that makes up the whole system.
Exactly. And so here's a question, you know, if I guess, say, you know, check engine light comes on, you know, something's wrong, but you don't necessarily know how to fix it. What do you do then?
Google.
Google a quick fix. What do I
do? For my oil change. I mean, Googling, it's not going to get you very far, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you'll find a couple things, but probably not, you're not going to be able to do it on your own.
Yeah.
Because you really don't understand that language. Like, I don't understand car language.
Yeah. You know, unless you're a car person and know exactly what you're doing.
And you have the education and the experience in servicing cars.
Yep.
Then you'll probably be fine. You can probably fix it on your own. If you don't, then you're probably going to need to bring it to an auto body shop. To the people that specialize in fixing cars.
Exactly. Those trained professionals who will be able to essentially figure out what's going on and
get to the root of the problem.
Exactly.
That's what they do.
And help you, you know, fix whatever is going on and get you back on the road.
And that's essentially the same thing when it comes to us. There are professionals in nutrition that would be registered dietitians. Who you should be seeking out for your nutrition help. You know, you could bring your car to a shady little shop on the side of the highway. Chances are,
they're maybe not like an actual registered business, you know, but the guy says he can, you know, give you a good deal maybe.
It's super cheap, and you're like, okay, sounds good. You do it, your car breaks a mile down the road. And you're like, maybe this guy didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, I just got, you
wasted
know.
My money.
Yeah.
Wasted my time. And it's the same thing with nutrition. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, take a quick weekend certification and boom, they're a nutritionist. They're quote qualified.
Yeah.
I mean, we've stressed it before and we'll stress it again. Registered dietitians require essentially 6 years of education.
Yep.
A long competitive dietetic internship, continuing education every year,
board exams. Is not easy to pass.
Like, it's an intensive process, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, as it should be, because, you know, we're working with humans, and nutrition is something that, you know, we eat every day, and there's so much other things related to health that, you know, nutrition ties into, whether it be, you know, medical health issues, medications, mental health, and that's all part of our training.
Exactly.
And, you know, just like any other health professional out there, you know, you wouldn't go to a doctor or a dentist or see, you know, a psychologist who did not have the adequate training. I mean, it's, I'm sure it's an issue in every field, but I feel like in the nutrition field, it's especially problematic with people who maybe mean well and think they know, you know, what they're doing, but their education and training, like, literally just scratches the surface, and they end up actually doing a disservice to the people they're trying to help.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think that just go to, you're taking your car to get service at a reliable auto body shop. Treat your body the same way.
Yeah.
Take it to a reliable, professional, and, you know, yeah, it's going to essentially cost more to go to an auto body shop that has, you know, all the
certifications and employees that are well trained, and
but your car is going to run way better.
Yep.
Same with nutrition.
Exactly.
You know, it's all about, like, invest in yourself.
It's worth
your health.
The investment, definitely.
Yeah. So that brings us to the next part of the name, fueling. What do we mean by fueling? There's actually, a few kind of puns behind this word as well. So, you know, everybody's heard it. Food is fuel. Do you agree with that?
So I can never.
It's a big controversy.
I know. I can never answer a question simply. So I do agree with that, but I can see where that phrase by itself can be somewhat problematic. So I think we have to, like most things, we have to dig deeper. And I think where people's mind goes first is, okay, food is fuel for my body, right? And so, yes, that's true. But I think we have to kind of look at the bigger picture and say, food is also fuel in other ways. So I agree, food is fuel, but I think where it gets taken out of context, you know, incorrectly, is it's only fuel for,
like, physical
body, physical things, or even just, you know, physique, body composition type of focus. And so we have to go beyond that and say food is fuel for our body, yes, in multiple ways, you know, physically, how we perform, how we feel. But then beyond that, you know, I like to kind of think of it as food is fuel for our body, mind, and soul. So our body, like we just explained, but also mentally, you know, how we function mentally, and, you know, our soul, and, like, how food plays a role in our society and culture. And we have to incorporate all of those things.
And we're going to get into all of
them. Oh, yes.
We're going to get in detail with the body, mind, and the soul. So, you know, we kind of talked about it with the body, fueling, you know, for performance. And performance, that's in terms of in the gym and in life, really. I mean, it is the obvious. If you're fueling for performance, you're going to perform better, right? Adequate fueling is going to get you further in your performance. It's going to increase your muscle, your strength, your endurance, your energy, your recovery. It's just going to, you know, again, have your body running optimally in the gym.
Yeah. Or even, you know, really any kind of sport or athletics, whether you're lifting weights, whether you're running, biking, gymnastics, hiking, like, it could be anything, really. Any kind of physical performance, adequate fuel is going to take you to the next level. I mean, and if it's just like if you look at any elite athlete out there, I know the Olympics just wrapped up, you know, those elite athletes, guaranteed, they take their nutrition seriously.
And they
fuel adequately.
And work with a dietitian. I know a lot of teams actually have their own registered dietitians.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. I mean, it is very important to, like you said, take that performance to the next level. And that's, you know, the same thing in life, like performing in life.
Yeah.
In your job, if you're a caregiver to a family member.
Yeah, just daily life, like daily tasks, whether it's, you know, work, school, again, being a caregiver.
Having energy to play with your kids.
If you're not adequately fueled, that's going to take away from all of those experiences and how you perform in them, right? Like, and so I think kind of, again, going beyond just food as fuel for our body and performance, but beyond that, it's not just athletic performance, it's just life performance, like just living life and feeling good.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to be an athlete to need to fuel
exactly
properly.
Yeah.
I mean, doing any sort of moving your body requires energy.
Yeah.
And we get that energy from calories. So
even laying in bed all day, right? Like you still need fuel.
Yeah. You still burn calories. You burn calories if you were to lay in your bed and not even twiddle your thumbs. You're burning calories. You're burning calories when you're sleeping. You burn all day. And I think that, you know, people get mixed up with that and think, well, I'm not doing anything, so I really don't need to eat that much today.
Yeah.
Well, you do. Your body is still running. Your body still has systems within itself that it needs to run and work properly.
Yeah, it's like if your car is in the driveway idling, you know, and it's in park, maybe not moving or but it's still on.
Yep.
You're eventually going to run out of gas if you don't fuel it.
Exactly.
So it's the same kind of
I like that one.
Point.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that, you know, we need fuel and, you know, it's not just from an athletic standpoint, but it's way beyond that as well.
And I think that goes into, you know, like we kind of talked about what adequate fueling does and just a quick touch up on what under fueling does. The same thing it's going to do to your car, you know, it's going to stop, it's going to break, it's not going to work right. The same thing goes for our bodies. We're at much higher risk of injury. We are going to be less effective at our workouts. Our recovery is going to be awful. We're probably not going to see progress in the gym or, I mean, life for that matter.
Yeah.
And we're going to run into a ton of hormonal and nutrient deficiency issues here.
Yeah, definitely.
It's about the body as a whole. Under fueling, you're just going to, your body is not going to work the way that we want it to.
Exactly. And I think before you kind of were mentioning, like, you know, if one thing is out of whack, it can kind of impact other systems. And the same thing is true, right? Like, if you are chronically getting injured, you know, that's going to have an impact on, obviously what you're able to do physically, but it's probably also going to have an impact on your mental health if you can't do what you love. And I guess to that, you know, same point, just knowing how important adequate fueling is to prevent those issues, prevent those roadblocks
from
coming
starting.
Up. Yeah.
And I think that's what people run into the most is that they, you know, they come to us because it's, quote, too late. Not too late, but they've already underfueled for, it's never too late to, you know, take a grip of your health and start fueling adequately. But like if we could prevent underfueling from ever even happening, that's the goal here.
Yeah.
Of course we want to help the people that are underfueling, but if we can, you know, kind of like spread the awareness and the education of and prevent that from even happening, that's going to save you a huge amount of problems and issues that will happen down the road. Because like we said, you know, underfueling or, you know, calorie restriction, severe calorie restriction, those 1,200 calorie diets, they work until they don't. And then once they don't, they really don't.
And you got
and now
maybe
you have
more problems
exactly.
than when you even first started out with.
Before, maybe it was like, oh, I just want to lose some weight. Now you've got metabolic issues, hormonal issues, mental issues, physical issues.
Yep. Like relationship with food is, you know, it's a slippery slope, and I think that's, you know, a huge part of our mission and you know, again, why we created this podcast. So kind of, you know, I think we covered fueling, you know, fueling the body, fueling for performance, you know, both in fitness but also in life, but also fueling our mind, you know. So
it's a big
again,
one.
Something I think, yeah, that is easy to maybe forget about, but things just like mental clarity, overall energy levels have you know, the power to impact really anything you do.
Exactly. And I think that a lot of you who have undereaten can probably say that you have experienced the whole brain fog thing.
Yeah.
You're just like not working right up there and you're just distracted, not sharp.
Maybe anxious. I mean, a whole host of things can, you happen. Know, sort of manifest as a result of that lack of, you know, yes, the physical fuel, but the mental fuel as well.
And a fun science fact here, we're not getting too sciencey in this episode, but did you know that the human brain actually requires 130 grams of carbs per day?
Per day.
To function optimally. That's...
Yeah.
People, there are some people that don't even eat 130 grams
I of can't carbs imagine.
In a day. And that's only for your brain. I mean, yeah, there are ways that the body can break it down if you're not, you know, per se, eating tons of carbs, but you're making your body work harder to get that glucose to your brain.
Yeah.
Why would you want to make your body work harder to do something when there's an efficient way to do it?
The efficient fuel source.
Exactly.
That, and I guarantee too that, you know, any client that is working with either one of us, we tell them to, you know, our recommendation would be higher than that.
130. Oh, absolutely. 100, yeah.
So someone listening might say like, oh, you know, so-and-so said, you know, 50 grams of carbs per day or 100. Our brain needs 130.
To function.
I don't know how people do that. But anyone I think that we've worked with, you know, we would recommend substantially more than that.
I took a Instagram poll not too long ago about, it was asking if you thought 200 grams of carbs was a lot in a day. And I can't even tell you how many people voted yes.
Wow.
And it just goes to show, like, I mean, that's not a lot of carbs in a day, especially for an active person.
No.
Not a lot. But it goes to show, like, diet culture has made people petrified of something like 200 grams of carbs. When, look, your body, your brain's using 130 of them.
Yeah.
Why
are we scared of fuel? Like, it's like, oh, I don't want to put gas in my car. I don't even know what, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, that statement doesn't make sense. Like, so why are we scared of food?
Diet culture, man.
Yeah.
That will do it to you. Especially carbs. Carbs are, like, so feared. And it's a shame because, you know, I'm sure you see it with your clients. When we increase carbs, it's like...
Light bulb goes off.
A light bulb and things just get clearer.
Yep.
People's energy goes up. Like, it's like a miracle. And it's like,
this is what was missing.
Quite literally the point.
Like,
they're quite literally energy.
Yeah. And we need the most, you know, carbs in the highest amount. So,
it's all about, you know, fueling your mind.
Definitely.
And I think that kind of also goes even into, like, mindset, too. Like, you know, if you're adequately fueling, you're going to have a much better relationship with food than somebody who is chronically under eating and chronically under fueling. You know, and that's really kind of the key. We want a good relationship with food. That's kind of the foundation of everything.
Yeah.
Like you said. So
fueling. I like that connection to mindset. Like, I think, and people that maybe have either a negative mindset or kind of that restrictive diet culture mindset, you know, if your actions are being fueled by that negativity, you're going to get negativity out of it.
Yep.
And so I think a big part of our approach and our, you know, why we started this podcast is to change that dialogue. And I know we're going to be talking more about mindset and some strategies that you can use to work on that, you know, as we go in more episodes.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, we kind of explained the whole adequate fueling, and under fueling is just going to be the opposite of everything we talked about. You're going to get that brain fog. You're going to have attention issues. You're going to get hangry. Hangry is never fun. I am not a nice person when I'm hangry.
Awful.
And I get hangry. Like, stand in my way. There better not be a roadblock there when I'm hangry.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to find yourself thinking about food 24/7, and in turn, that's going to make you an anxious person. It's going to make you anxious for social events, anxious to literally live your life.
Yeah, so, you're running on empty.
Yeah. So fueling for your mind, definitely just as important as fueling for your body.
Absolutely. And so, You know, the third thing we wanted to talk about with this fueling term, and again, something that I think is easy to maybe forget about with, you know, just food as fuel and thinking about maybe just the physical component. But again, how I like to think about it is fuel for our body, mind, and our soul.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit more, I guess, subjective and depends on maybe what culture you're from. And but really anyone on this planet can agree that food plays a role in their culture and traditions
110%.
And just life enjoyment in yep. general.
And food is meant to be enjoyed. I don't know where along the lines we kind of veered off this path now and have made people feel guilty for enjoying their favorite foods or enjoying, you know, like foods of their culture or foods that their family has made them.
Yeah.
But it's pretty sad because it's
like feeling guilty for breathing. It's like, well, you need oxygen, you need to breathe. So why are we feeling guilty about eating food or attaching, you know, guilt to, really any food,
and especially like your favorite foods. Like, yeah. There's nothing wrong with eating your favorite foods, period.
Yeah.
Stop cutting them out. Stop looking at them as good or bad. Like,
yeah.
If it's your favorite, then it's a good food for you.
Yes.
Period. Is it maybe the most not nutrient dense? Maybe, but that doesn't make a food good or bad.
And it doesn't mean that it can't still fit into a healthy eating pattern.
Exactly.
And again, I know that's something we'll definitely talk
a lot about.
A lot about as we go.
Yep. And kind of like bringing it to the culture part, you know, different cultures have different foods and it's fun to experience all of these foods. And, you know, if you're traveling and you have in your mind, you know, this black and white picture of food, you're not going to be able to enjoy the full experience of living your life and traveling and doing all these things when you're just worried about what food's going to be offered. What food am I going to be able to have? Like, this and that.
Yeah, like, I'm, you know, going to Italy, but I'm following this plan that, you know, limits my carbs or, you know, pizza's not allowed or pasta's not allowed. Like, that's going to take away from your trip.
And that's not going to be fun.
No, like, and so I think we can both agree that, like, one of the saddest things we hear from new clients is saying, oh, well, I love, you know, insert whatever food here, pizza, ice cream, whatever, but I don't eat it because, you know, I just cut it out. So I haven't had it. You know, I've had people that said, like, they haven't had something like pizza or, like, peanut butter for years.
Yeah.
Years.
But it's, like, still their favorite. So clearly they're still thinking about it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it doesn't make sense to me.
There's no one food that inherently causes weight gain.
No.
There's not.
No.
If you learn anything, learn that weight gain comes from, it's all down to energy balance.
Yep.
Period. Period.
That's it.
And calories in versus calories out is essentially what causes weight gain and weight loss. If you're burning more than you are exerting, you're going to have weight loss and vice versa.
And it can't be attributed to one food.
Exactly. So don't cut out a food because it literally doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Am I telling you to go have, I don't know, if your favorite food is chocolate cake? I'm not saying go fill your whole day with chocolate cake. I'm not. But if you want to have that chocolate cake, you know, treat yourself to it once in a while and enjoy it mindfully.
Yeah.
It's your favorite food. Like, you live one time. Enjoy your favorite food.
Absolutely.
Because in the long run, it's not going to be detrimental if you kind of include it mindfully in the right way.
Exactly.
In moderation.
Yeah. And enjoy it and don't attach that, you know, guilt to it or good or bad. Because I think when we do that, you know, you kind of run down the slippery slope of, like, binge eating and stuff like that.
Oh, for
again,
sure.
Could be a whole nother episode.
That is going to be a whole nother episode.
You know, topic that we get into. But I think, you know, the point is, you know, we kind of wanted to break down the food as fuel thing or that word fueling to talk about. You know, we don't just mean it physically, but, you know, again, also mentally, but culturally, you know, again, food for our soul. So culture, tradition, social events,
celebrations,
traveling.
A lot of things are centered around food, and that's okay.
And that's okay. That's a good thing. Like, I wouldn't have it any other way.
No.
Yeah. Nope. So, so I'm glad we, you know, went through that and kind of talked about that, because I do think it's
important.
It's important to kind of break down the misconception around that phrase. So the last part of our podcast name here, so Road to Fueling Better. So again, we talked about, you know, being on the road to somewhere, or what kind of the main objective of that journey is. And so what I guess we wanted to start out with is what better doesn't mean. So what we don't mean by that is, you know, we don't mean that eating a certain way makes you a better person in terms of, like, you know, your worthiness, or like, oh, I'm better because I eat a certain way. It's kind of, again, going beyond that. I think diet culture and the whole, like, clean eating trend makes it so that we think, oh, well, I follow, you know, this diet, or I only eat organic, so that makes me better than you, you know. And I think that's not what we mean.
Not
so
at all.
We want to be clear about that. We also, again, like we just mentioned, you know, we're not talking about good and bad foods or better foods. It's going beyond that. And I think, you know, we both agree in terms of why we got into this field is to help other people, you know, improve their life and make their life better.
And I think that goes into better for them. So another thing, it's going to be different person to person.
Yeah.
What's better for me might not be better for you, and vice versa. So I think that, you know, the ultimate goal here is to have them feeling better.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's going to differ from person to person. So what's important here, though, is that better needs to align with your goals, whatever that may be. Could be performance, could be, you know, a certain sport, could be just living a healthier lifestyle, could be anything.
Yeah.
But we want to make you feel better in terms of what feels better for you. And that's kind of, you know, fueling better, feeling better.
Yeah.
Kind of a little play on words.
Another
there
play
too.
On words. We don't mess around.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's another thing that's a little bit, you know, a little black and white. People think this is better, when in reality, it's not a black and white topic at all.
Yeah.
Better is such a wide, has such a wide meaning. So it's, again, a very individualized process, and we want to learn what's best for our clients and help you get there.
Exactly. And I think it comes down to that individualized approach. You know, personalizing things for that individual client is super important for their long-term success, is making sure that, you know, their journey, or, you know, whatever route they're taking is going to be the best option for them individually. And it's not about, oh, this way is better than that way. It's what is better for that person. And I think, you know, we both feel strongly about that. And again, that's how we approach our work with clients, where, you know, we don't use a one-size-fits-all approach. We talk to our clients, get to know them, ask about their goals. And, you know, I think we both help, you know, a pretty large variety of clients. You know, anyone from athletes who maybe have, you know, years and years of athletic experience, more advanced athletes, to someone maybe super new to the nutrition or fitness. Yeah.
Yeah.
And really anyone in between. And that's okay. And that's, you know, again, that's what nutrition professionals like dietitians are trained to be able to do.
To meet you on your level. You're not meeting us on our level. I think that's a lot of, that's what you see a lot too. You know, a lot of people who, a lot of nutrition coaches or whatever it may be, don't have the necessary education in it. So they don't understand that it's not about the client meeting you at your level.
Yeah.
You meet them at their level and figure out how to make things work for them.
Yeah.
And it takes, you know, a lot of practice and training to do that, but that's what's important, because that's what's going to be sustainable for the client. we're not looking for sustainable approaches for us
right.
when you work with us. We're looking for you. And that means finding things that work for you that make you better.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think a red flag would be, and I think our next episode, you know, we're going to talk about some red flags. We're going to talk about quick fixes. So stay tuned. But a red flag would be, and I guess this is probably a final road pun here, but would be a coach that says, you know, it's my way or the highway.
Oh, I like that.
There we go.
Well, there's actually two here. When you said that, I thought of it. Or like an end destination.
Yeah.
My way or the highway, or if like there is an end destination. That's two red flags right there.
And so, again, you know, Gina and I both focus on, you know, tailoring things or customizing things to that individual client and focusing as well on sustainability. So not just, you know, oh, I want to get here for, you know, 3 months from now and take a super restrictive, you know, again, my way or the highway kind of approach. We don't do that. And so I think, you know, if you come into contact with someone who does take that approach, you need to question that and, you know that there are trained, you know, dietitians out there who will meet you where you're at and who will really customize, you know, that your nutrition program to whatever your individual goals are and what works best for you.
And make it a more enjoyable progress. I mean, that's kind of the most important thing here. You need to enjoy it, because if you enjoy it, you're going
sustainable.
To be consistent with it. You're not going to be consistent with something that you hate, and you shouldn't.
And
you shouldn't
be consistent
with something you hate.
Cuts out your favorite foods. It's again not setting you up for that long-term success.
So if you if any of this resonated with you, feel free to send us a message. We're always down to help, to talk, to answer questions. I mean, we could talk about this stuff all day.
Oh, yeah. So. And, yeah, give us a follow on Instagram and feel free to share this podcast with any, you know, friends, family members, anyone who you might know who think would benefit from some of the topics we'll be talking about.
Yeah. So until next week, we got some good ones coming up.
Yeah, so stay tuned.
All right, have a good one.